Welcome, and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, Basics of IT Financial Management, What It Is, Why It Is Important, and How IBM and Tivoli Usage Accounting Manager Can Help. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and include a question and answer session. In this teleconference, you'll learn about the fundamentals of IT financial management, including asset management, strategy and planning, budgeting and forecasting, cost accounting, budget versus actual variances, chargeback and business reporting, and investment analysis. The speakers for today's presentation are Sigmund Puchaz, Senior Sales Specialist, IBM Software Group, and Jeffrey Ebrecht, Senior IT Specialist with IBM Software Group. At this time, I'd like to turn things over to Jeffrey. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning. Thanks for everybody for joining this conference call this morning. Hopefully, everybody can hear me okay, and we'll get started here if you have the slide deck in front of us. Again, I'm Jeff Ebrecht, and I'm going to probably walk you through the first two-thirds of this particular presentation, and Sig Puchaz will come on and walk you through the last third of this presentation, and Sig may actually jump in here with a few additional comments and statements that he knows about the IT financial management space as we go through my slides. The agenda today is, really we're just going to talk about the basics of IT financial management, and as the call operator asked, we're going to talk about asset management all the way down through investment analysis if you're looking at slide two. And then we'll have some discussion around IBM's financial management solution. And at the end, we'll have some question and answer opportunity. If you flip to the next slide, some of the questions that, why is IT financial management coming into more and more focus today? And some of the things that we hear customers saying is, they're looking at IT to help generate revenue. They're looking at IT to help to keep the business out of trouble. They're looking at IT to reduce costs, among many other things. So more and more companies are starting to run IT as a business in partnership with the lines of business that are out there. And if you flip to chart four, why are we experiencing this transformation? And if you think back for those folks who have been in, IT and IT financial management for some time, the dynamic has changed from a simplified type of an environment now to more of a dynamic and cloud type of computing. And if you look back at the simplified model, what you're doing is you were allocating costs and charging back, and you're managing resource-based type of initiatives, a particular server or a particular application or a particular line of business. So there was not a whole lot of flexibility, and there's a lot of complexity within an IT environment. As you moved on to more of a shared type of an environment, you became more aware of sub-capacity licensing. Became more aware of, utilization of a server or a particular application by more and more lines of business. And what that created was some additional complexity. How do you manage the cost of IT for a particular server if there are more than one lines of business utilizing that particular resource? And now we've gotten into a more dynamic IT environment where there's virtualization, there's shared resources going on all the time. And the reason why we've moved to this type of environment is more of the flexible delivery of processes, more flexible delivery of applications. So as you've increased the complexity, you've increased the complexity of how do you manage the cost of IT. And those are some of the things that we're going to get into today. Looking at chart number five, Gartner, does a lot of research around, IT space and financial management. And most of the organizations that Gartner deal with have some type of chargeback or cost allocation model in place. And the quote here on the left-hand box is, according to Gartner, getting chargeback isn't easy. So there's a lot of folks that actually have a chargeback process in there, but they're not very happy with their current chargeback model or cost allocation model. Or, even broader based, they're not very happy with their entire IT financial management model. And, and what happens is chargeback, identifies costs in a way to recover those particular costs, but what it can create is political tensions, investment setbacks, as well as distorted use of IT services. So, customers that perceive different things about various environments within their organization, whether it be the mainframe is too expensive, a distributed platform is less expensive, whatever it happens to be. And so what are some of the solutions, and some of the solution we'll talk about later is, you know, companies need to figure out a way to develop a process to where they're using more and more tools and more automation to where you're capturing metric and usage data. You know, so that way you can integrate your usage data with your accounting and chargeback model, you know, and create some type of metering type of activity. So we'll talk about, you know, IBM's solution around usage and accounting later. You know, looking at chart number six, you know, I'm not going to read these particular questions, but these are some sample real-world questions that we hear from several customers when we go out and talk to them. And, you know, and some of these questions are, could be relevant to you. Some of these questions may not necessarily be relevant to you, but it talks about, you know, return on investment, total cost of ownership. You know, do you have the proper tools and processes in place to capture a TCO type of a model or an ROI type of a model? You know, and it also talks about assets and asset useful life and end of life, et cetera, and some of those questions. Chart number seven, you know, we start getting into the definition of IT financial management. ITIL, or IT Service Management Forum, they define financial management as the process responsible for managing IT service providers, budgeting, accounting, and charging requirements. You know, those are nice words, and those are things that, you know, a lot of people don't necessarily take a whole lot of consideration into. So what we did is we put a nice little picture in here in this particular chart that shows you what are the main areas within IT financial management to focus. And that's where we start talking about strategy and finance, planning and budgeting, cost accounting, et cetera, all the way around this wheel. And then at the center of it is asset management. And IBM, as an organization, we put asset management more in the center of this because it creates a foundational building block. You know, you have to understand what resources you have in order to establish your budget, establish all your cost accounting pools, and establish, you know, how you're going to track your budget versus actual spend. So if you don't know what you have, then how can you actually go through the rest of those financial management pieces to become, you know, a better run organization from an efficiency and effective standpoint? Looking at chart number eight, you know, we summarize IT financial management. We break it down into what I consider four basic questions. You know, the first question is, you know, what resources do you have today? You know, hardware, software, power, heating, cooling, people, et cetera. You know, what are those assets that you currently have? How are those resources being utilized each day? You know, or how much of those resources are being utilized each day, each month, each quarter, each year? That gets into, okay, not only do you know what you have, but also how often are they being utilized? Do you have assets out there that are being used more frequently than others? And does the cost justify the usage of those particular resources? The next question is, you know, even a step lower or a step higher in granularity, depending on how you look at it, you know, who is utilizing those resources and at what level is that utilization? So now we take it one step further, so it's not only what resources are being utilized, but by whom? You know, application development folks, lines of business users, who's actually utilizing those resources? So now we're getting into that need to track usage and metering type of information at a more granular level. And the last question we ask, you know, is does this utilization in current capacity that you have on the floor align with stated business goals and direction? Meaning, is your most profitable line of business being treated as such? You know, are they the ones who are utilizing most of your IT resources and getting the value out of it? Or do you have an organization or a line of business who happens to be a IT resource hog, but the business itself is not much of a profit-generating type of a business? So are your IT resources being utilized by the right folks? So chart number nine, you know, again, the picture of the seven main areas of IT financial management that we consider, and we'll walk through each one of those areas here over the next handful of slides. You know, the first slide, or the first group, is asset management. You know, what is the business need of asset management? You know, it really gets into, you know, obtaining accurate asset information and enabling appropriate and timely action across the business. Meaning, do we know what assets we have? Not only from a asset discovery standpoint, but an asset tracking and asset management standpoint. You know, some of the business drivers are, you know, identify and eliminate low-usage software or low-utilization hardware. You know, optimize your software and hardware capacity needs. And hopefully if you're managing your assets appropriately, you should be able to manage them to a point where you can reduce or identify areas where you can reduce your IT budget. The last quote down here at the bottom from Gartner is, you know, enterprises that begin or institute an asset management program experience up to a 30% reduction in their IT costs in the first year. And then ongoing year after year, they should experience a 5 to 10% IT software, IT cost reduction. So that's one of the things that, you know, asset management is a key. It's a foundational building block for IT financial management. That's one of the reasons why we talk about this first. The second area or the second bullet is, you know, strategy and financing. You know, what's the business need here of strategy and financing? What's the objective of strategy and financing? This is where you outline what is IT going to do for you as an organization. Are you going to run IT as a business? How are you going to run your IT as a business? Is it going to be a chargeback or a showback type of an area? Is it going to be just strictly treated as a cost overhead? You know, and then you know, you got business drivers there as far as, you know, reduction of duplication of services. You know, identifying areas as far as your assets, and then also identifying a strategy around them. You may identify those areas where you could eliminate certain areas within your. Yeah, next chart, number 12. These are various what we call chargeback or cost allocation models that, you know, most organizations identify what they want to do that particular year in the strategy and financing area. And as simple as a no chargeback type of a model where you basically treat IT as a department as overhead. And you can go down as very complex as, you know, having budgeted rates where you set rates for various IT services that you provide throughout the year and establish rates and cost pools and measuring those particular rates. And most companies that we deal with have some form of this type of a model in place today, and some even have multiple forms of these particular models depending on, you know, what they're trying to accomplish from a strategy standpoint. Planning and budgeting. Again, this is the area where you're basically taking your strategy, taking your IT budget, and simply allocating it based on, you know, some metric, whether it be, you know, a monthly term, whether it be quarterly, whether it be annually, and you're tying assets to utilization to lines of business as far as who is using those particular resources. So, you know, as a business driver, this is a means of delegating control, monitoring performance against predefined targets. That's pretty much what a budget is. You know, if looking at chart 14, some of the things that you need to consider when you're looking at budgeting, what are the areas that you should budget for? You know, server and hardware maintenance, server storage, power, floor space, some of those areas down along that bottom of the list. Some companies don't necessarily take that into consideration. You know, they don't necessarily budget for power or floor space, and some of them may not necessarily may budget appropriately for their development and test environment. Cost accounting is the next area within the IT financial management area. So this is where you start establishing your budget versus actual variances. You know, you start establishing what are your cost pools, what are your cost metrics, you know, how are you going to measure the value of IT. This is where cost accounting starts coming in. You know, and some of the statements down here at the bottom as far as business value delivered, you know, how do you determine what is the most profitable line of business within an organization? You know, I need to balance my database transactions with speed and affordability. You know, how do you do that type of stuff, and what is the value delivered from an IT perspective on that? You know, shifting your focus from a non-profitable line of business to a more profitable line of business. Those are the types of things that cost accounting can help identify metrics and those types of things. Chart number 16. You know, this is, you know, a cost accounting model. Or, you know, we talked earlier about, you know, the dynamic change from a simplified environment to a more dynamic environment that we have today. The cost accounting, you know, follows that same type of a model. You know, in the early days, we had just a resource-based type of a cost accounting model, which was driven basically on processor time or DASI storage or anything like that. So that's the resource driver, so you establish your cost pools based on whatever the resource was and created your billable unit. Now as the environment becomes more and more dynamic and customers want to figure out a way to run IT more like a business, they start looking at, okay, maybe I should have a cost accounting model based on a business service need, you know, meaning your line of business, number of checks processed, number of transactions processed, number of customers, number of policies we have in place. That becomes your business driver, and you develop your cost pool based on what are the IT services that go into building that business service or providing that business service. And even more dynamic into the IT service-based model, you know, where what are the things that are done that need to carry out a certain piece of work or line of business. So as you can see, several companies could have different cost accounting models within their own organization if they have it simplified to where, you know, simple as a resource-based model, or they can be migrating more to a business service or IT service-based model. And what we've found over the years, and most of you probably would agree with this particular statement, is current typical cost allocation models use false economics. What we mean by that is budgets and forecasts and everything like that are based on estimates, not necessarily based on actual usage or true metrics. So you set up a budget, you set up a cost accounting model based on estimation. And then what happens is, you know, you have situations where you have disappropriate or misallocation of various data center resources, server hardware storage, labor, power, floor space, et cetera. So those estimates start getting into, you know, based on what you feel is happening, not necessarily what is actually happening. Then we start getting into questions and concerns from our customers and lines of business stating, hey, you know, the systems, the environment, or the mainframe environment is too expensive, and we're not putting new applications on that particular environment because the cost is perceived to be too high. You know, those types of things start entering the space, and it's just simply because most companies use cost estimates rather than actual cost to allocate or run IT as a business. You know, actual versus budget tracking and handling is another area within the IT finance. Most companies have some type of model, some type of process already set up here where they take their monthly budget or quarterly budget, compare it to what was actually spent, and they identify the variances and they explain those particular variances. So there is a business need for that, so that way you're you know, depending on how you you pay your or compensate your senior management staff, you know, these are things that some companies monitor to make sure that they're staying on track as far as managing their IT budget appropriately. Reporting and possibly chargeback, you know, what types of reports are you providing to your lines of business, you know, to deliver or derive the value of IT? So if you have a chargeback or a cost allocation model, are you providing them just strictly invoices at the end of every month or at the end of every quarter, or are you providing them information as far as detail behind each one of those invoices to show here's what your actual usage was around a particular application or around a particular IT service? So that way they can understand how much their business is driving their costs. And that's where, you know, reporting and chargeback. It's not necessarily to get money back from the lines of business to pay for IT, but it's also a way of showing the lines of business what the value of the IT services you are providing to them. The next chart, number 20, is just kind of a sample invoice, you know, business report that you can provide to your lines of business, and actually SIG will have some additional samples of invoices from IBM Solution in a few charts later. And the last area that we cover is, you know, investment analysis. At the end of every year, at the end of every budget cycle, you know, how do you determine whether you did a great job or a good job of managing your IT costs for that particular year? You know, and there's a direct relationship between investments in IT and the service level agreements or the objectives that you establish with your lines of business at the beginning of the year. And this is really where we basically start looking back to last year and say, okay, where did I spend my IT dollars at, and did I get the most bang for the dollar that I spent? You know, was my IT budget right size? Did I have the appropriate amount of funds? Did I have the appropriate amount of resources allocated to provide the business services that I wanted to deliver that year? You know, and you know, some of the questions you can ask yourself at the end of the year is, okay, did I provide the appropriate amount of resources to the most profitable line of business for my company? Meaning, did I treat that line of business as the most valued portion of the company, and am I allocating my IT resources appropriately for them? Looking at chart number 22, if we get back to that, here's a sample of, you know, when you look at investment analysis, you can look back at the end of the year because you can compare, you know, your estimates versus the real actual usage. And here's one of those samples where, you know, this particular customer used estimates to allocate cost for the distributed environment versus the mainframe environment. And then when you actually went back at the end of the year with an investment analysis and took a look at what were the actual costs, you can see that their estimates as far as what was allocated to the distributed environment versus the mainframe environment was drastically off because they were using an estimation rather than an actual. And this is where we can combat that question or that perceived notion in most of our customers where System Z is too expensive. It may not necessarily be too expensive. It may just be based on the allocation model that the customer is currently using. And to wrap up my portion of the chart or the slide deck, you know, chart number 23, you know, this is a quote that we use in a lot of our presentations, but we say, you know, without reliable data, you're really just another person with an opinion. Meaning, you know, you have to have solid IT financial management practices and policies in place. You know, it's not only policies and procedures, but it's also tools. It's also, you know, having a commitment to making sure that you have good metrics that you can track your data against. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Sig.
Okay, thanks, Jeff. I think you really clarified the overall IT process model in the area of financial management. And if we look at chart 24, what we're really going to focus on for the remainder of the presentation is how we address some of the areas where a lot of companies fall down. And that's really that most companies, when they define IT, you know, from a strategic perspective and how I'm going to run IT, whether it's an expense center, whether it's a cost recovery center, et cetera, and they go through their budgeting process, most of the organizations have skills in that area because they use those skills to run the rest of the business. What we find in a lot of cases, and especially as IT budgets are growing faster than the businesses are growing in many cases, is there's frustration when it comes to IT at looking at, I give IT a budget, they're coming back, they go and they use the budget, sometimes they overrun the budget, and next year they're coming back and asking for more budget, and I'm not really sure about the visibility of how they're using that budget numbers. And most of the parts of the organization, the traditional parts of organizations have a very good discipline and have their own what I'll call management accounting systems. And that management accounting is saying, I have these resources and I have the ability to regularly report on how those resources are being applied to the business and the business benefit being delivered. And this is an area, again, with the dynamic nature of how IT is evolving with a greater and greater level of sharing of resources, that it becomes more and more difficult for IT organizations to address that. And so that's why I'd like to focus the remainder of the presentation on is how do I go and provide that visibility back to the business, demonstrate a greater level of responsibility in running having better financial disciplines of running the IT organization. And that's what this chart 24 talks about illustrating. This is a lot of times we have the budgets, we allocate and figure out who's going to possibly be using our services. But at the end of the day, if we're not actually capturing that usage, it's a little bit like having a budget that you set in December and never check balancing your checkbook. I have a feeling that if you don't do that, somewhere around February or March, you're going to be in trouble. So that's what we're going to talk about is how we make sure that we're operating responsibly against the plan that we've entered. If we're not, being able to adjust responsibly through the year. If we take a look at chart 25, you can think of this very much like you look at a utility bill, whether you're doing, you know, showback or management accounting or whether you're actually charging your users for the use of IT, but it, you know, you're really looking at IT being very much like a utility, and you have a lot of different charges and a lot of different mechanisms on how people are using your resources. So, you know, I'll use, although this show's an electric company, I'll talk a little bit more about this, like a cable bill. You have some charges, you know, my cable company charges me every month $59 whether I ever turn on my TV or not. And so that's really kind of a fixed direct charge that comes to me. And you can think about that of a dedicated piece of hardware, whether that server is being used for that line of business or not. But if it's dedicated to that line of business, you would typically think of just charging that directly to the line of business. On the other hand, you might have charges that you can think about that are variable in nature or based on usage. The example I'll use with the cable bill is movies on demand. You know, my wife has grown more and more enamored with being able to watch movies at home on a widescreen TV as opposed to possibly going to a theater and putting up with the people in the lines, etc. So, you know, there's a usage charge the cable company charges me. Every time I do a movie on demand, they're going to charge me, you know, a rate depending on whether it's an HD or a regular movie or not. But that's a rate-based or a usage-based charge. And then finally, at the bottom of my bill every month from the cable company, I have a set of charges that are really based on the summation or the combination of my usage as well as my flat fees. That tends to be a sales tax issue that comes. And you can look at other classes of resources within the IT resources that maybe can align to that. Personnel on the data center floor that are operating systems or, you know, handling the operation of the systems, you can't tell from a minute to minute what those personnel are doing and what, if you will, line of business they're actually serving. But I think if you take a look at something like the consumption, let's say, of CPU resources or overall budget resources that line of business represents, you can do a fair allocation by prorating back to those lines of business the cost of those personnel. So when you're looking at technology to put in place a management accounting system for IT, you have to be able to accommodate all those different models to really give that fair visibility, IT cost transparency back to the business. So if we look and move to chart 26, IBM's answer to that is a system called Tivoli Usage and Accounting Manager. It really is meant to be an organization's management accounting reporting, and if you want it to be, it can also be a chargeback system. The strengths of that system that make it unique in the industry is it's very good at looking at shared resources. So if I have a shared server, who's using what of that server at any point in time? It has extensive reporting and invoicing, so we can do billing if you would like. I'm going to give you some examples of the reporting shortly. We can integrate with the other financial systems of the business. So, you know, if you wanted to go and do direct debiting of a department within the company and show it up in the company's general ledger system, we can integrate that way as well. We can help customers look at profitability. So if I am offering a service to a division and I can get down to the applications and the resources I consume to help that division produce that product, I can understand the impact on IT resource consumption against product profitability. So we can help with that visibility as well. We can look at cost allocations, the proration concept or example I gave earlier. If there are things like floor space or power or things that I can't directly measure consumption, but I can I know that those are my costs, and if I can make intelligent decisions about how people are using other resources, I can fairly provide those cost allocations back to the business appropriately to the consumers of those resources. If I want to go to a service catalog base that so many people are talking about today, I can aggregate the resources to deliver those services and come up with an accurate service-based charge to those people. A lot of people in the cloud environment are doing that. I want to go and provide, let's say, storage as a resource from a service catalog. So, I can go and charge based on that catalog, and if I'm capturing the usage there, I can have a usage service approach. And then finally, since we're going to capture all this information, we can give you some historical trending on both costs and resources. What's really unique about this capability is that it is cross-platform. It can go from your mainframe systems out to your Unix, Linux systems, Windows systems, to your virtualized systems, to even service catalog and cloud environments. It not only looks at things like CPU, memory, and I/O, but it can go into the shared services or middleware that you have within the system. So if you have a database farm and you want to understand who's consuming what portions of that, we can do those kinds of things. We can look at transactional systems and say who are using those transactional systems and resources. Virtualization, if I have a physical resource, who's using what parts of that physical resource? Email systems, storage, which is a big area of concern for people on growth, all of those areas that we can help you with that management accounting. And then finally, what we do is we don't just create printer reports that people put off in the corner. We create an interactive web portal so that the users of IT can go and interact with it, and you'll see some examples of that, to see how their behavior impacts costs. The IT executives and IT finance department can have this information to go and demonstrate back to the business the value being delivered at the costs and budget and resources. And finally, the IT people themselves, since we have this repository of how the resources are being consumed and by whom, they can use this to make more intelligent decisions to help optimize the infrastructure as well as tune the infrastructure or help justify additional resources as required. If we move to chart 27, how we do this, people always say, what does it take to do management accounting? Well, it really takes three things. You need to be able to gather data, and that's the top of the funnel I'll talk about in a little bit. Then you need to be able to bring it together, identify who's using what resources, and put a cost to those resources, allocate those costs to that usage or consumption, and map that into a cost center, and then be able to report on it. And we do all three of these functions. At the top, and I'm going to emphasize data collection, the strength of Usage and Accounting Manager is we provide off-the-shelf data collection from almost all of your IT infrastructure, the generalized things like mainframes, Unix, Linux, et cetera, and middleware systems. We also know that most organizations have unique requirements. You have budgeting systems you'd like to bring data in from. You have invoices that come from suppliers, et cetera. So the Usage and Accounting Manager has an open interface to where if you know the format of those electronic feeds, we can automate the incorporation of those costs or data into the system. We have also transactional interfaces, so if you wanted to, let's say every time you close a help desk ticket, send a transaction to us to charge a specific user for the resources to resolve that help desk ticket, we can do those kinds of things. And then we have, for lower volumes of data, manual data entry systems into the system so that you can capture that data. So we think we can capture well over 90% in an automated fashion of the data that you need to do this management accounting. We bring it to a central server, put a cost or a value to it, associate it to the cost center, and then provide, if you will, in that perspective of that user, whether it be the IT consumers, whether it be the IT executives and financial management to report back to the business, or whether it be the IT organization, put that disparate data into views that turns that into knowledge that they can take action on. So that's the overview of the system. We go to chart 28. Here's some examples of views into the data. The first few charts have to do with the views that the line of business people would typically use, as well as IT finance and the executive. So since everything's in relational database, I can provide some nice graphical management reports. If you look at the left-hand side of the screen, you can see why it's appropriate for the audiences that I just outlined, because what we're doing is organizing the information here based on either the lines of business or, in this case, the applications that are being used and the resources within those. So I can very quickly say here credit card and retirement applications or lines of business are the big consumers of IT resources, and hopefully that's in line with the way we set the budgets and what we expect the usage to be. We since all this is on a browser, we can hyperlink into that data and get into the detail. So if I want to go and see that same data and I want to drill down into it now and I say, okay, commercial loans, what's making up that cost this month for commercial loans? And you'll see that there are various line items here, databases, email, et cetera. Anything that I poured into that funnel can be line items here or aggregated into here. And so if the user says, boy, my database charge looks a bit large this month, they can drill down, see that they have databases across different platforms, and they can actually drill down into the specific database area if there's some questions about what's going on there. So in general, users don't go into that level of detail, but they do if charges look out of line, and the finance people usually like this technology as well because all the data is there in CrossFoots. So, in general, the charges or the costs are in line. The question is what behavior constitutes or created that cost that might seem out of line? So it's a very powerful tool for both the users and finance to be able to understand what's going on. We support, as I talked about earlier, virtualized environments, whether it be microcode hypervisors like you have on LPARs on ZVM on the Z platform, or whether you have hypervisors like PowerVM on AIX, or software hypervisors like ZVM or VMware, et cetera. This gives you a view of how the insight that we give you into those virtualized environments on chart 31. So, I could take a look here and see if I'm the credit card department here and I'm actually only using 32,000 CPU minutes a month where I'm asking for 316 minutes a month, with that kind of decision, and if that trend is a monthly trend, I might go and recommend, if I'm IT, to that line of business to cut back their guaranteed level, because I'm going to probably charge them based on guaranteed level, to a lower level. I can go and then reduce their costs or their charges, as well as free up resources that I might be able to use for another line of business or another area and defer a hardware upgrade. So it's a powerful insight and visibility both to the consumers of IT and the IT people. Moving to the next chart, this is a bit of a view of, from an IT user's perspective. And what we have here is, if you look at the left-hand side, rather than having information organized by lines of business and consumption, now I have it by resource classes. And this is kind of how IT is organized, right? Your mainframe people are running and understanding and caring for the resources on the mainframe. Your Unix people might be looking at your Unix resources and your storage people storage resources. So now they have a very quick insight into who's consuming those resources. So in this example, I see a high number of Windows resources being consumed. I can go and click on that, find out who those consumers are, and if I wanted to, I could actually click down and see what processes are contributing to that. The next chart gives you an example of storage insight, very similar. I could go and drill down on the storage costs. I can get into the individual lines of business that are using those storage costs and, again, help them understand why their costs are what they are, but more importantly, from an IT professional's perspective, how do I go and I help optimize that store utilization so I can go and defer, if you will, hardware cost spending. Chart 34 just, shows you some of the trending capabilities that we have, and since, again, it's in a relational database, we can help you to understand whether resources are being used seasonally or whether they're growing dramatically with continually over time, or whether they're just very much tied to the health of the business. And I can help you, if you will, with your hardware and software spending. And we can export this information into things like spreadsheets so that if you want to do capacity planning and what-if kind of modeling, you can do that as well. Architecture of the system on chart 35 is pretty simple. We have a centralized server. We collect the data from the various platforms, and again, we support Z and Unix, Linux, the IBM I from an IBM perspective, the different Intel platforms, different hypervisors. We can bring those specialized feeds into the system, apply rates or costs to those associated to clients, store it for historical and auditing perspectives, and then create the reporting. With the system comes an extensive set of reports. The technology, you know, from a mainframe perspective, has been in the marketplace for over 3 decades. We've been doing distributed systems cost accounting incorporated with mainframes for now over a decade and a half, and we are accommodating virtualized systems for, you know, five to 10 years now. So we think out-of-the-box reporting is there both for the IT people, the lines of business, and finance people, but those reports can all be, if you will, extended, and custom reports can be created. We have a healthy install base with this product, over 280 customers, really cross industry, because management accounting is really cross-industry. Every company in every industry has to do it. Every public agency has to do it. People buy for a lot of different reasons. If you look at this large healthcare insurer, you know, they had a requirement after a merger to be able to go and support multiple management accounting systems for a period of time and evolve those into a single system, and as well as, you know, continue to have auditability of federal government. We were able to satisfy their needs. The insurance financial broker, you know, they not only wanted to look at the IT infrastructure, but they wanted to look at things like labor accounting, telecom costs and storage, and we were able to do that. And they didn't, you know, they weren't doing chargeback. They were just doing memo billing, saying, hey, you know, this is what it's cost would be costing if I were billing you, using that as a strategy to move into billing. Large aerospace company, you know, this is an interesting story because, you know, this shows you the scalability of the system, but they had a challenge because they had been running on a homegrown system. The person that had written that had been telling them they were going to be retiring for a while, and then finally when they gave their 6 months notice, the company had to react. They issued an RFP. They chose Tivoli Usage and Accounting Manager their solution, and were able to implement the system with them in less than 6 months. So this can be, especially for people that are traditionally used homegrown approaches, you have to ask yourself, do I want to be in the IT accounting business from a development perspective, have an exposure of having that into a set of individuals that might walk out the door, or do I want to have a more general off-the-shelf solution? It's really one of those traditional buy, make versus buy kind of decisions. And then one of our really early cloud successes, I thought I'd reference that, is the Department of Interior. The U.S. government, the new CIO, has had a very big initiative on moving more to shared resources within the government to cut down costs and help control costs. So we were able to put up with them a cloud service catalog offering for their developers. In this case, it happened to be running on the Z platform under ZVM with Linux on Z, and our service automation product is if you will, service catalog and the provisioning agent and usage and accounting manager to do, if you will, the management accounting and, in their case, the billing chargeback. So in summary, on chart 38, you know, the things benefits customers normally get when they look at providing this management accounting system and this greater visibility into the business is a better relationship between IT and the other parts of the business, because now the reporting on what IT is doing for the business is really based on facts and real hard data. So there's, if you will, more consensus across the business that IT is being run responsibly and the costs are in line with the services being provided. IT itself can help use this information to benchmark their effectiveness across other people in the industry. And in general, we should be able to demonstrate alignment of between the business and where the money is being spent. Second major benefit is, if you will, helping lower costs, that cost of the IT infrastructure. We can go and help defer, if you will, server storage sprawl by having better insight to the how the resources are being consumed and what room there might be to move different workloads, raising the overall utilization of the resources. If the business says they're going to be growing, we can measure whether that growth is reflected in the resources that are available. If it's not there, then we have the data to rationalize why we might need additional resources. And then the final point is, you know, I'll call it Responsible Finance 101, but, you know, Jeff did an excellent job about talking about ITIL and the financial management discipline and how IT should be run more as a business from a financial perspective. And that's really what the usage and accounting manager provides is of that, if you will, discipline within ITIL, the management accounting portion of that, you know, taking the budgets, understanding who's using what, reporting on that, who's using what, helping have the justification for any type of or provide the adjustment capabilities if you're not in line with what your budgeting thought to be, and then having the data that as you're going and looking to make new acquisitions, making sure you're making the right investments on a cost-effective basis and allocating the costs to the right parts of the business. So, you know, my favorite, if you will, quote is in the bottom right-hand corner. You can't manage what you don't measure, and that's really what usage and accounting manager is about, helping you get the measurements so that you can better manage IT effectively. So with that, chart 19, I'd like to thank you for your time, and I'd like to turn it over. I think we're going to do some survey questions, then open it up for question and answer.
Thank you, Sigmund and Jeffrey. Now we'd like to ask that you participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we will have a Q&A session with our presenters. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key, followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. Question 1. Please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. Or if it was low, press star 3. Question 2. Was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference at the right level, press star 1. Not technical enough, press star 2. Or if it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. For our third question, do you feel that you have a solid hardware asset management system? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. Question 4. Do you feel that you have a solid software asset management? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. Question 5. Do you feel that you have good IT management accounting in place? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. Question 6. Has the rise in virtualization, automated provisioning, and cloud computing raised the priority for an automated management accounting and reporting system? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. And our last question, we hope you'd enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you're interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1. If no, not desired at this time, please press star 2. And that concludes today's survey. At this time, we would like to take your questions. If you do have a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone telephone at this time. Once again, for questions, that is star 1. We'll pause for just a moment. And again, for any questions at this time, that is star 1. And gentlemen, we appear to have no questions at this time. I'll turn the conference back to you for closing remarks.
Well, I just want to thank everybody for their attendance, and appreciate if you have any questions, feel free to follow up with me after the call. Thank you.
Thank you. That does conclude today's conference. Thank you all for joining us.